This week's parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh, and the main two chapters of Parshas Tetzaveh, chapter 28 deals with the clothing of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, and chapter 29 deals with the inauguration sacrifices. The Gemara in Zevachim, Daf Pei Ches Omed Beis, 88b, brings there, V'omar Rab Inyone Bar Sosoin, Rabbi Inyone Bar Sosoin says, why is the parsha of korbanos or sacrifices written next to the parsha of the clothing of the kohanim? In other words, why is chapter 29, which deals with the sacrifices that you have to bring at the inauguration of the tabernacle, written right next to chapter 28, which deals exclusively with the clothing of the kohanim? Loi malach, to tell you, Ma korbonos mechaprin, the same way that sacrifices atone for sins that we do, av big de kahuna mechaprin. So too, the kohanim wearing the vestments in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash, those vestments by themselves will have the power to atone. And the Maharal explains that since in chapter 28, pasuk number 2, it's written, Vasisa bigde koidesh lahar nachicha, you should make holy vestments to Aharon your brother, lechavot ulesifores, for glory and for splendor. They introduce a sense of loftiness in the Jewish people that counteracts any degradation that was done by the sin. Some of these vestments will atone only if we do tshuva, and some will atone even before tshuva, in order to prevent the Jewish people from being harmed. The Gemara in Zvachim continues to explain the vestments and what each one atones. And first, the Gemara starts with the vestments of a regular Kohen. The vestments of a regular Kohen are the ketones, the shirt, michosaim, the pants, the avnet, the belt, and the mitznefes, and the hat. And the Gemara starts that the ketonet, the shirt, the tunic, atones for shfichas damim, that the tunic atones for sins of bloodshed, of murder. And the Gemara in Erchin, Dafta Zion, Omed Aleph 16a, explains that this atonement is not referring to the murderer. The murderer is liable for death, either by the hands of the Bezin or by Hashem. This atonement is not for the people in case we don't know who the murderer is, because in that case, we bring a egla rufa, a decapitated calf, and we follow the procedure. This atonement is specifically when we know who the murderer is, but we have no witness, that even though the law clearly says that we are not allowed to kill the murderer, but nonetheless, the people, the community responsible, but by the kohen wearing the ketonet, that ketonet suspends the punishment and gives us atonement that Hashem does not punish the community in that case. And the Gemara gives an allusion to this idea from Bereishis chapter 37, pasuk number 31, where the brothers wanted to hide the sale of Yosef, says, Vaishchetu sirizin, they slaughter a goat, Vaitbalu esakasoines badam, and they dipped the tunic in blood. Therefore, as an allusion, that the tunic is going to atone for sins of blood, for sins of murder. The Gemara continues that michnosaim, the pants or the breeches, mechaperes al gilu aroyos, atones for sins of immorality. The Gemara brings a pasuk, shenemar, because it's written on Shemos, chapter 28, pasuk number 42, vosus alohem michnesei vad, you should make to them linen trousers, lechasois psara erva, to cover the flesh of nakedness. Literally, the pants are made to cover the nakedness, but also to conceal or to cover up the sin of nakedness. So they play with the words, they say the michnasaim is made to cover up, to forgive the sin of nakedness, which is immorality. And then the Gemara says, mitznefes, the hat or the turban, mechaperes al gase oriach, that atones for sins of haughtiness, somebody who is arrogant and haughty. Menayin, how I know that? Omar Rab Chanina. Chanina says, very simple. Yavoi dovor shebegoiva, let come something that is worn high, in other words, on the top of somebody's head, v'icha peral gova, and should atone and forgive the sins of haughtiness, which is tallness, which is makes yourself big and tall. The mitznefes, the head, because it's the tallest part of the body, should atone for somebody who makes himself tall. Then the Gemara says, the avnet, the belt, mechaper al hirur alev, atones for thoughts of the heart, meaning that if you had thoughts of sin, which you actually had not acted upon it, then the avnet would atone for it. And the reason that the avnet would atone for it is because the avnet is placed right next of the heart. And also the avnet was 32 amois, 32 cubits long. The belt was 32 cubits long. And the numerical value of 32 is lamed base, because the 30 is lamed and 2 is base. And lamed base is lev, heart. Therefore, the avnet, the belt that the Kohen wore, atoned, forgave the sins of hirur alev, that you had thoughts in your heart. When you didn't bring those sins to fruition, then the avnet would atone for it. Then the Gemara continues with the vestments of the Kohen Gadol. The vestments of the Kohen Gadol are the choshen, which is the breastplate with the precious stones, the ephod, which is the apron, the me'il, which is the mantle, and the tzitz, which is the head plate. And the Gemara says, the choshen, the breastplate, mechaper al dinim, atones for justice, miscarriage of justice. As the pasuk says in our parsha, chapter 28, pasuk 15, v'asisa choshen mishpat, you should do a choshen of judgment. Obviously, since it's called a choshen, a breastplate of justice, it atones for sins regarding judgment. The ephod, the apron, atones for sin of idolatry, as the pasuk brings down in Hosea chapter 3, pasuk number 4, where the Jews go to exile. There it's written, "Ein ephod." Since there is no ephod, then we get trophim, we will get idols. In other words, according to Rashi, the pasuk is saying that the reason that you are being punished for idolatry is because ein ephod, because there is no ephod to atone for it. But if there would be an ephod, if you would have this apron, then ein trophim, you wouldn't have the sin of idolatry. You're able to atone for that sin. Then we see that the ephod atones for sins of idolatry. Then the Gemara says the me'il, the mantle, atones mechaper loshon hara, for sins of loshon hara, literally bad speech. But it really means the derogatory remark that you say about somebody else or yourself. And the Gemara continues, Manayin, how do I know that? Om Rab Chanin, Rab Chanin says, Yovoy Dover Shabekol, since the bottom of the Me'il had bells which emitted sounds, then the Gemara says, Yovoy Dover Shabekol, let something that had sounds, that emit sounds, come and atone Al Kolora, on the bad sound that this person made, the derogatory remark that this person spoke, let the sound of the me'il atone for those sounds. By the way, the me'il was the original bell bottoms, and also the me'il is going to be the focus of our class. And continues the tzitz and the head plate, mechaper al azus ponim, it atones for brazenness, in other words, for chutzpah, because regarding the tzitz is written on this week's parsha, chapter 28, pasuk 38, v'hoyo al metzach aharon, should be on Aharon's forehead. And regarding brazenness, it's written in Yirmiyahu, chapter 3, pasuk number 3, u'metzach isha zoyno oyoloch, and the forehead of a harlot was to you, and forehead there is meant brazenness. Since the tzitz has the words koidesh l'Hashem, to be holy to Hashem, and the tzitz is worn by Aharon on his forehead, that means that we want to make sure that the forehead is Kodesh Lashem, that is holy to Hashem. That means it atones for the sins done by the forehead, which is brazenness. Therefore, the tzitz atones for sins of brazenness, of chutzpah. As we mentioned, our shiur is going to be focused on the me'il. And as we mentioned also, the me'il comes to atone for the sin of Lashon Hara. And we'll see some interesting thing in the Pasukim that the Chofetz Chaim and Rabbeinu Bachya bring down, which helps us explain how the atonement was achieved through the Me'il, and that will help us to know how to behave in order not to require to have the atonement. In other words, how not to sin so we won't have to have the atonement of the Me'il. We'll start with the first Pasuk, which is in chapter 28, Pasuk number 31. There it's written, Vosisu as Me'il o Eifoit, you should make the rope for the Eifoit, in other words, this is the Me'il. Klil Techeles should be entirely made of turquoise wool. The Rabbeinu Bachya explains that the name of Me'il comes from the name Mal. Mal means when you use, misappropriate something, you do Me'ilah, you disappropriate something holy, that is what the Me'il is. And based on the Kedushas Levi says that the mouth was only created in order to praise another Jew, and you, by saying Lashon Hara, by saying something derogatory, you did Me'ilah, you transgressed, you misappropriate the power of speech against another Jew. So you kind of took something holy and you made it profane. Therefore, the Me'il is called Me'il from the Lashon, from the language Me'ilah, the language of profaning. The Pasuk continues, Klil Tcheles, completely done with blue wool with Tcheles. And the Kliyakar explains what the idea that the Me'il, which comes to atone for Lashon Hara, has to be specifically done with Tcheles, with blue wool. He says, based on the Gemara in Chulin Daf Peites Amud Aleph, where the Gemara there asks a question regarding tzitzis, why do you have to have Tcheles in tzitzis? There the Gemara brings down, Rav Meir says, Manish Tano Tcheles Mikol Tzivoinim, why is the turquoise wool different than all other colors? That the Torah specifies that you have to put in the corner of your clothing this color of Tcheles. The Gemara says, "Upneshet Tcheles do melayam," because Tcheles has the color of the sea. The sea has the color of the sky. The sky has the color of sapphires. And the sapphire is under the throne of Hashem. The Gemara is trying to say that by you using tzitzis, you will remember the throne of Hashem, and you remember through that all the mitzvahs that Hashem gave you. There's a lot of questions in this Gemara, specifically why doesn't Rav Meir say directly that the Tcheles has the color of the Kisya Kovet, but those questions will be addressed when we get to the Parsha of Tzitzis. We'll try to answer them there. But nonetheless, the Kliyokar says that the first step that Rav Meir says is that Tcheles, the turquoise wool, has the color of the sea, which means to say that we have to learn from the sea. What do you have to learn from the sea? To that, the Kliyokar brings down the Pasuk in Iyuv, in Job, chapter 38, Pasuk number 8. There it says, Vayosech bidlosaim yom, that he closed with doors the sea. In other words, Hashem closed the sea by putting doors around the sea, meaning Hashem made sand to hold back the sea, as the sea would have doors that wouldn't be able to trespass it. And the Pasuk later continues also on Pasuk number 10. V'eshber olav chuki v'osim b'riach udlosoim, I constrained with my limits and I am put on it a bar and a bolted door. In other words, he's trying to say that when Hashem created the world, Hashem put limits till where the sea could go. He made borders, he made doors that the sea will not be able to penetrate whenever Hashem doesn't want. Hashem made sure that the sea is contained and does not flood the whole world. So too, says the Kliyakar, the Me'il, which comes to atone for Lashon Hara, was done of Tcheles, of the color of the sea, because Hashem also put in your mouth the same doors and the same bolts in order for you not to speak Lashon Hara. Hashem put in your mouth your teeth and your lips to close in order not to speak evil against other person. According to Kliyakar, that's the message that we're supposed to get from the Tcheles, from the blue wool, which looks like the sea, that in the same way that the sea keeps his borders and doesn't transgress, doesn't overflow, doesn't flood the whole world, so too you should make sure to keep your borders, keep your mouth shut, don't speak evil, don't speak bad things against other person. The Chafetz Chaim uses also the idea of Tcheles as a message against speaking Lashon Hara, and he uses also the same Gemara that we mentioned, that Tcheles looks like the sea and the sea looks like the sky looks like the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem. But he goes and he says that we use the idea that the Tcheles is like the throne of Hashem. A person thinks that when he speaks, he is just speaking here in this world, and Hashem doesn't hear, that his speech doesn't have an everlasting consequence, or since it's only voices, it's disregarded. But a person has to know that every time he speaks something, it goes all the way to the throne of Hashem. That any derogatory remark that a person makes doesn't just stay here in this world, it reaches the throne of Hashem, as the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 73, Pasuk 9 says, Shatu Bashamayim Pihem, that they put in heavens their mouth. In other words, if a person comes to realize that whatever he speaks goes all the way up to Kisei HaKavod, then that person would refrain from speaking Lashon Hara. And that was the message of the Tcheles, of the full blue wool that was in the Me'il. And according to this Chafetz Chaim, we could say that the word Me'il doesn't come from the word Me'ila, profaning or transgressing, as Rabbeinu Bachya brings down, but it comes from the word Me'al, that it goes up, that it goes up, that you should make something that goes up. You gotta be careful on the Me'il, because the Me'il, it comes to atone for something that goes up all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, which is your speech. Your bad speech and your good speech, both of them go up to Kisei HaKavod. So therefore you have to make sure that Klil Techeles, that your Me'il, whatever goes up, should be completely done with Techeles, that should be worthy to go up to the Kisei HaKavod. Pasuk number 32 continues, Vaya pi roishoy besoicho, its head opening should be folded over within it. The simple interpretation means that you should fold over the material and then sew the seam, that you should not just cut the material and let the ends just stay without a seam. We should do like any time we make a seam, that we should have it folded over and then sew the seam. But the Chafetz Chaim writes down, Pi roisho besoicho, means that a lot of times you have to make sure that your mouth, the mouth of your head, is within you, that you do not answer. And he brings another Gemara in Chulin Daf Pei Tes Omed Alef. There the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Lahe says, Ein Olam Iskayem, the world doesn't exist, Elo Beshvil Mishe Boilem Es Atzmoy B'Shas Meriva, only through the merit of a person that muzzles his mouth when he is in an argument, when somebody fights with him and he could answer, and he chooses to muzzle his mouth, even when somebody provokes him, he still refrains from reacting. And according to Rabbi Lahe, that is the merit why the whole world stands. And he brings the Pasuk in Iyuv, chapter 26, Pasuk number 7, where it says, Toile Eretz al Belima, that Hashem suspends the whole world on Belima. Normally the word Belima is translated Belima, on nothing, that Hashem keeps the world on nothing. If you take a look, how does the world stand? It's in the middle of nowhere. Hashem suspends the world on nothing. But Rabbi Lahe plays with the word and says that the world stands on bolem. On belima means on somebody who is quiet when people are arguing against him, where people are provoking him. That's the merit why the world stands. And the Chafetz Chaim uses this pasuk and says that what means pi roisho besoicho means when somebody takes his mouth and keeps his mouth to himself, where he could answer, where he's provoked and he's tested to answer, yet he keeps his mouth to himself, that is the purpose of the Me'il. The Me'il was done in this way, that you should learn this message, that you have to fold over yourself, that you have to keep your mouth to yourself. Like that, you won't come to say Lashon Hara. That the Me'il was atonement for Lashon Hara, because it taught you how to behave in order not to speak Lashon Hara. Because the easiest time to say Lashon Hara is when you are provoked. But if you keep your mouth to yourself, then Lashon Hara won't escape. And the Alshach explains that Pi Roishoi Besoichoi means somebody whose inside speech is as his outside speech, that the mouth on his head reflects what's inside him, that he does not say one thing with his mouth when he's holding, when he thinks something else with his heart. Rabbeinu Bachya said the same thing, that a person has to make sure that his speech is the same thing that is in his heart, that he should not say one thing with his mouth and one thing with his heart. And then the pasuk continues, Sofa Yelepif Saviv, which normal translation means he should make a border for its opening, Masa Oireg, of a weaver's work. So here the Chafetz Chaim explains that a person has to make sure that he puts a border on his mouth, that he has his lips on his mouth all the way around, and they are sealed like a weaver would sew them together. In other words, the same way if a weaver would sew your lips together, you won't be able to utter a word. So too, a person has to think before he speaks Lashon Hara, as you would have somebody weaving his mouth, closing his mouth all the way around, that you won't be able to speak Lashon Hara. As we say, zip up your mouth, we're closing our mouth in a way that you shouldn't be able to speak. And the pasuk continue, Kefi tachro yeloi, you should make it like an opening of a suit of armor, loi korea, it should not be torn. And Rashi says, what does it mean, like a suit of armor? Rashi says, Lamadnu, from there you learn, Shasharyonim shelohem, that the suit of armors, PM, kafula soichon, their neck openings were folded to the inside. In other words, since the Torah tells me to make the me'il like the suit of armor, therefore you learn from that, that the suit of armors was also folded inside. If that is true, the Chafetz Chaim asks a question, why does the Torah compare the me'il to the suit of armor if we don't know how the suit of armors are done? The Torah should have just said, double over the me'il and finish. Why are you comparing it to the suit of armor? The Chafetz Chaim answers, the Torah is teaching you an important lesson. The same way a suit of armor protects you against weapons, against swords, against other things shouldn't harm you, so too, if you don't speak Lashon Hara, it will act to you like a suit of armor, the same way that a suit of armor affords you protection, so too, if you keep your mouth shut, that itself, if you are quiet, will protect you as a suit of armor, and it won't be torn. In other words, nobody will be able to penetrate you, as Mefarshim bring down, that if you don't speak Lashon Hara, Hashem doesn't allow in heavens that you should speak Lashon Hara against you, because in the same measure that you do here, Hashem does for you. So in order for you to have this protection, the best thing is that you should make sure that your mouth is shut and woven, sewn together, that you won't speak Lashon Hara. Then the pasuk says, Vosiso Shulav, you should put on the hem, Rimoyat Chelis Vargamon Vesolah Shoni, pomegranates of turquoise, purple and scarlet wool, Al Shulav Saviv, on its hem all around, Upamoyne Zav Besoicham Saviv, and bells of gold inside. The bells are the ones that made noise, and the Rimoynim, the pomegranates, theoretically was just for decoration. The Rimoynim was closed off and had no noise-making capabilities. The pasuk continues, Pamoyne Zav Rimoyn, you should make a gold bell and a pomegranate, Pamazav Rimoin, a gold bell and a pomegranate, Al Shula Meil Saviv, on the hem of the rope all around. Meaning that in the hem it was alternating one bell and one pomegranate, one bell and one pomegranate. According to this comes out that each bell is situated between two pomegranates. The Chafetz Chaim explains that it's telling you that certain times to speak is golden, because we have to learn Torah with a loud voice. It's not enough to learn Torah with your eyes. You're required to learn Torah with a loud voice. And that is what it's meant by having the pamoin, the bells of gold. But besides that, you have to make sure that it's a rimoin, that before you learn the Torah and after you finish learning Torah, don't allow your speech to continue, and you should make sure that it's quiet, that you have no permission to speak unless you're going to speak the praises of other Jews, or unless you are going to say words of Torah. But otherwise, you have to make sure that your lips are sealed, that it's quiet before and it's quiet after. Don't think that once you speak Torah, that you spoke enough words of Torah, now you're allowed to speak more. You have to also make sure before you speak that you think what you're going to speak. That's symbolized by the Rimo in closed of, that you're thinking what you are going to speak. And after you speak, you have to make sure that you're not going to speak anymore, that you stop after you learn Torah and don't speak more other words, idle words, or even words of Lashon Hara. And then the pasuk says, "Vayoth Aaron l'sharoi," is Aaron will serve. "V'nishma koilo," and we hear his voice, "b'voyel hakodesh lifnei Hashem," when he comes into the holiness in front of Hashem, "uvetzeisoi," and when he goes out, "v'lo yamuz," and he will not die. So the Chafetz Chaim explains that if you don't speak Lashon Hara, then you'll merit to go in into the holiness, into going into the courtyard of Hashem. And if it says so, when you go out of the world, when you die, then velo yamuz, you will not die in the world to come, that you will be alive in the world to come and you won't be dead. In other words, the Chafetz Chaim says simply that if you behave properly and speak the right words, then you'll be able to come in into Hashem. In other words, your voice will be accepted to Hashem, your Torah will be accepted to Hashem, and when you come out of this world, you won't die, you won't have eternal death, you'll be able to live on forever. On this last pasuk, which says, "V'ayu al aharon l'shores," there'll be a aharon to serve, "v'nishma koilo," and you will hear his voice, "b'voy al hakodesh," when he comes into the holiness, "lifnei Hashem," in front of Hashem, "uvetzeisoi," and when he goes out, "v'lo yamuz," and he will not die, Rashi says, "miklal lav ato shomayahen," that because it says that if you wear this clothing, you're not going to die, you learn from that, that if you do not wear this clothing, then you will die. So Rashi says that im yechnas mechusar echom na begodim, that if he comes in dressed, if missing any of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, then the yamus, then he will die. Meaning, according to Rashi, that this pasuk that he says when he comes in to serve, he will not die, doesn't refer specifically about the me'il. It refers to all the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, which is the Choshen, Ephod, Tzitz, and Me'il. If he comes missing any of this clothing, then he will die. The Mizrahi asks a question on Rashi. How can Rashi say that this pasuk here is referring that if the Kohen Gadol comes in missing if any of the clothing, he will die, when Rashi says the same thing theoretically on pasuk number 43, where the pasuk says, "Voyu al aharon valbonav," it should be on aharon his sons, "bevoyim al moyet," when they come to enter the tent of meeting, "oivegishtam al izbeach," or when they approach the izbeach, "leshars bakodesh," to serve in the holiness, "velo yisu avoyin," they should not bear any sin, "vameisu," they will die. And here is referring to the clothing of the kohanim. And Rashi says, "vameisu," holomato, for now you learn, shamashamash mechusar begodim, that if somebody is serving missing any of the clothing, b'miso, he gets death. The Mizrahi asks a question, why does Rashi require to say both places the same thing, that if you're serving missing one of the clothing, that you are going to die? Therefore, the Mizrahi explains that the first pasuk is talking about the Kohen Gadol, that if a Kohen Gadol is missing any of his four clothing, then he will die. And this pasuk here, in pasuk number 43, is talking about the regular kohanim, that any Kohen Gadol, any kohen that's missing one of the clothing, he will die. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi. The Ramban believes that the commandment that if you're missing any clothing, you are liable for death, came only after Michlasaim, after the pants on pasuk number 43, and that applies to all previous clothing mentioned before. And he disagrees with Rashi that you're required to have a separate commandment for the Kohen Gadol not to go in missing any clothing lest he die. And besides, the Ramban is even bothered that if it is according to Rashi, why did the Torah specifically tell me this law that if you're coming missing a clothing by the Me'il, when it applies to all the four things? It applies to the Choshen, the Ephod, the Tzitz, and the Me'il. And after the Me'il is going to be written the mitzvah of Tzitz. So if it will be written after the mitzvah of Tzitz, I understand that you could say maybe it applies to all the previous four clothing. But if it's written after the Me'il, where the Tzitz is not even mentioned yet, and you're telling me that it also applies to the Tzitz, then the question is why the Torah chose specifically to write that law by the Me'il. Therefore, the Ramban says that there, by the Me'il, which our parsha here, it's a specific law that the Torah is telling you that you should hear the noise when he comes in, because when the Kohen comes in into the king's palace, he has got to announce himself. He has to make sure that he has permission. He knocks on the door, and by him shaking the bells, is asking for the permission. And he says, if you take a look by Ahasuerush, the story of the Megillah, we know that Esther Amalka herself could never go in without permission. And if in front of a human king, you're not allowed to come in unannounced, so much so in front of Hashem that you are not allowed to go in unannounced. Therefore, to hear the bells before he comes in is specifically a law for the Me'il, teach us the Recheretz, that you're not supposed to come in suddenly to the king's palace, and by you making the noise, that is asking permission. And then the Ramban adds that the Yerushalmi in Yuma on the Pasuk on Vayikra chapter 16, Pasuk number 17, where it says about the service of Yom Kippur, V'chol Odom lo yiyeh bo'el moed, bevoyo lechaper ba'koidesh va'at seisoi, that no man should be in the tent of meeting when Aharon is coming to atone in the holiness until he goes out. In other words, that nobody is allowed to be present when the Kohen Gadol is doing the service of Yom Kippur in the tent of meeting. And Yerushalmi says that it's not talking about just men, that we even send out the angels, that angels are not allowed to be present at that time when Aharon is doing the service, because this has to be a service private for Aharon, for the Kohen Gadol and Hashem. The Ramban explains, according to this Yerushalmi, we have another purpose why the Me'il had to be worn when you go into the holies. Since the Me'il had bells, the bells served as a buzzer, as announcements that he's coming in. Like that, everybody that is there, including the angels, will know to get out. Since they heard the noise of the Me'il that's coming in, they knew it's time to leave. And also when they heard the Me'il leaving the holies, then they knew they could again come into the holies, that the Kohen is not there, the service is finished, they have permission now to re-enter the holies. And he explains that this idea was only by the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is the special person that is in a level to have private contact with Hashem. Therefore, it was imperative that the Kohen Gadol wears the Me'il, wears this clothing that has bells in the bottom, in order to make sure that everybody left the holies. Sefer Kli Chemda says that he hasn't yet merited to understand the words of the Ramban. And he's bothered first what the Ramban explains, that you're required to wear the Me'il because the noise is required in order to ask permission to get into the holies. The Kli Chemda asks, we know that every day regular Kohanim went into the holies. Every day the Kohanim, not the Kohen Gadol, are the ones who brought the Ketores, the incense. The incense was in the holies. And the Kohanim don't wear Me'ils. They don't wear the clothing with the bells in the bottom to make noise. So you see that Hashem actually gives you permission to come in every day to the holies without knocking. Then why was it required for the Kohen Gadol to come in into the holies with the bells to make noise, when we see that every day Kohen could go into the same place without the bells, without making the noise? Ah, you are going to tell me that we are talking about the service of Yom Kippur, that only the Kohen Gadol is supposed to go into the Holy of Holies, and to that you require to have the Me'il. That is not true, because to the Holy of Holies, the Kohen Gadol did not go in with the Me'il. He had to change to the four big delavon, which the four big delavon did not consist of the Me'il. There was no noise being done. That's why the Kli Chemda says that I don't understand the words of the Ramban. I wanted to explain the idea of the Me'il is something very deep. And also, I wanted to use the Daza Kenim Baal Tosfos on Parshas Pekudei, which is Shemas, chapter 38, Pasuk number 25, where Daza Kenim explains that the whole building of the Mishkan was a recreation of the 7 days of creation, and where it is explained that the same way that during creation, after man sinned, Hashem pushed away man, sent them out to this world. Now that man is so good, Hashem forgave all our sins, Hashem makes us build almost like the world again in the Mishkan, a microcosm of the whole world, the Mishkan. And then the Shechinah comes to us. It's a tikkun, ratification for what we did during Bereishis for the sin of Adam. In other words, Adam originally sinned, that caused him to be kicked out of Gan Eden, to be ostracized from Hashem. And now when man is good, then Hashem is coming to us and we ratify what we did wrong. And if that is true, then we could kind of explain the idea that the begadim of Aharon HaKohen should be lechavod, to Sifores, should be for splendor and glory, meaning that originally the clothing was to cover up shame, that once we sin by eating from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, of the tree of knowledge, then we were ashamed and we had to cover up. But here, this clothing that I'm giving to Aharon is not to cover up shame, to cover up sin, is actually for glory, for splendor, and not to cover up the sin. Also, the main problem after man ate from the fruit wasn't just that he transgressed the word of Hashem, it was that he actually thought that he is able to hide from Hashem. He thought that Hashem doesn't watch over the whole world, that a person is able to hide and cover up his sin. So much so that according to the Aderes Eliyahu, Hashem had to ask him on chapter 3, Pasuk number 9, Ayeka, where are you? What status are you now? How can you have fallen from such great spiritual heights that you believe that you are able to hide from Hashem? And that is probably even worse than any sin, because you believe that Hashem doesn't have the power to know where you are. So the fact that man hid when Hashem asked them, Ayeka, where are you? That is maybe just as big of a sin. It is probably, so I wanted to say that the Me'il comes to ratify the sin of Ayeka. Ayeka means that we were trying to hide from Hashem, that we for some reason believed that we are able to escape the supervision of Hashem. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol, which is the representative of mankind, which is like Adam, he's wearing the Me'il when he's walking. Everywhere he goes, he has to come with the Me'il to make the noise, to ratify, to counteract that Ayeka, that where are you, to show that we are not hiding anymore. We're not doing the same thing that we did originally. We are not trying to hide anymore from Hashem. We want Hashem to see us all the time. Even if we commit a sin, we are still not going to hide. We are going to repent. We are not going to make believe that Hashem did not see us. And that is what the Me'il is coming to tell you, that I am here. I am always going to be here. Every time the Kohen Gadol is in the Beis HaMikdash, he is required to wear the Me'il to show to everybody that we are not going to hide anymore, that we know Hashem watches us very carefully. And here we are making the noise, we are here, we are not hiding. And that's why it's meant that he should wear the Me'il Bevoi Al HaKodesh when he comes to the holiness, which means when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, when he goes out, which means the whole time he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he's supposed to wear it, Velo Yamus, and he will not die. In other words, since Adam HaRishon sinned, it was decreed death on him, but here, by him wearing the Me'il, then Velo Yamus, that he won't die, will ratify the sin that caused death. And I have a quasi-proof to this idea that Me'il came to atone for the sin of Ayeka. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Peiches Omed Beis, has a machloikas how many bells there are in the Me'il. One opinion was that there was 72 total bells, 36 from this side and 36 from the other side. And Rav Doyse says it was a total of 36 bells, 18 from this side and 18 from the other side. And I find it very interesting that the number in common that both of them have is the number 36. That one held is 36 from this side and 36 from the other side, and the other one held, it's the total of 36. Coincidentally, 36 is the numerical value of the word Ayeko, where are you? Ayeko, where are you? The Aleph is 1, the Yud is 10, that's 11. The Chof is 20, that's 31. And the He is 5, that makes it 36. I wanted to say that the Kohen Gadol wearing the Me'il, which has the 36 bells, which is numerical value of Ayeko, and it makes noise. In other words, through that we're making noise to show Hashem that we are constantly present and we are not hiding anymore. And it's also very interesting that the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis Rabbah Chof and also in Dvarim Rabbah Hey, there the Medrash says that the Nachash, the snake, was speaking to Adam, and Adam and Chava were not listening to her to eat from the fruit. So she started speaking Lashon Hara on Hashem, that the snake started speaking derogatory remarks on Hashem, that caused Adam and Chava to end up eating from the fruit. Comes out according to this, that the only reason that we sinned is because we accepted the Lashon Hara that the Nachash spoke on Hashem. And that is very appropriate now, that the Me'il, which is the antidote of Ayeko, comes to atone for the sin of Lashon Hara, which was the first sin that man did, which is a Nachash enticed him, that we accepted Lashon Hara, we accepted the bad, derogatory talk that the Nachash spoke on Hashem. And Hashem is Borach should help that we should always remember that Hashem is watching and we should refrain from sinning and we should not speak Lashon Hara, we should not give derogatory remarks on another person, we should only speak the praises of another Jew. And if we do that, then we'll increase Ahavas Chinam, baseless love within the Jewish people. We'll have Shalom. Then we'll have Moshiach come, Beis Hamikdash rebuild, Bimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.